Welcome to Psychopath in Your Life. This is episode number 43. I'm your host, Diane Emerson, and I'm the author of the book Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews, which is now available on Amazon and iBooks. Again, thanks for all your emails and taking the time to tell me your story. I would like to point out the story I'm reading today, continuing from the first episode, which was the last one, which was episode 42. So this will be part two in what I'm calling her story. So I will continue on. Why couldn't he just stop taking the calls and ignore her text messages? Why did he continue to allow her to engage him? Why couldn't he just tell her that she behaved like a lunatic? He had his out. Why couldn't he just tell her to leave him alone because it was over? At the very least, couldn't he turn off the phone at night so we could get a little peace? Daily from 9 a.m. until after 3 in the morning, it was a constant barrage, and it was making me crazy. He kept telling me that he wanted to end things peacefully, not that she was going to let that happen. So he insisted on responding to her and keeping the lines of communication open. Now, for the record, I realize there are children involved, and I never wanted him to give them up. The children were always his reasoning for allowing this insanity to continue. I tried. Oh, how I tried. I tried to be understanding and supportive. He and I fought almost the entire time. I chalked this up to his issues with her. Surely this would end once she finally accepted it was over between them. As an aside, I now truly feel for this woman. I am not as sane as I once was, and I am reasonably certain that while there may have been some instability present in her from the beginning, over the 22 years they were together, he contributed to her craziness. He moved in with me that February, moving to a completely different state with another woman. One would think that would solidify the over in its over. I was truly fine with the love you too when he wanted to get off the phone with her. I completely got that and never thought much of it until he called her baby. Okay, in truth, that was the least of the issues once he moved in with me. He finally found a job just before his money ran out. The economy sucks. I got that too. He planned to remodel my home. Insurance paid for the better part of a new kitchen due to a water leak over the holiday season. I had money for materials, and since he'd been in the construction for over 20-30 years, it was perfect. I was happy. He seemed happy. It was all good. The summer, however, was horrific. Now, obviously, they got together right before Christmas. Okay, so moved for about 6 months. Okay, the summer, however, was horrific. My stepfather had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer several months earlier, and the end was coming near. As they were in a very tight financial situation anyway, his illness, their continuous trips to the quite distant hospital, and the isolation of living so remotely created a situation where I felt necessary to travel the 5 hours to their place several times. Fortunately, I had some savings to count on to help out and finance the travel. This left him at my house for extended periods, regularly throughout the summer. It seemed a perfect situation, though, as I needed someone to take care of dogs in the house. The remodel was not as inconvenient for him, because he didn't seem to mind living in the mess, and I was able to do what I needed to do without worrying about things at home. Everything and everyone was being looked after in the best possible way, given the situation. Only, I would go to my mother's and the accusations would begin. What was I really doing up there? How many men was I meeting while I was there? Huh? Why was I taking my mother, who incidentally had taken care of old and sick people for the last 40 plus years nonstop, to get pedicures while my stepfather was in the hospital? Shouldn't we be packing up the house instead? Now, as he was asking about pedicures and packing up the house, my mind, the one he gets inside, is rationalizing his views. He's right, of course. The house is for sale, and she won't have any help when it finally sells it. What am I thinking? I need to be doing something besides giving my mom an outlet to talk, which she isn't one to do, over stupid puzzles. I'm wasting my time. I should be doing more. My more rational mind, the one I try to keep him out of, is saying, my mother needs support,
emotional nourishment, some pampering, and packing at my stepfather's things in anticipation of his death while he's still alive seems pretty freaking insensitive, doesn't it? This is a problem. When he is away from my head, I think clearly and rationally. Everything at my mom's place was done when it was necessary. I was there to help her financially and emotionally, which is what she needed. All as well as could be expected. However, when he talks to me, I get confused. As the onrush of questioning comes into full swing, I am answering questions number one when he's asking question number five. And before I get to question two, he's berating me about not answering questions three and four, while seemingly simultaneously asking questions six, seven, and eight. Now, I graduated summa cum laude with my BA in education and a minor in English. I am not stupid. How does he make me feel so inferior, incapable, and utterly useless when he goes here? Later, I also found out that every time I was gone, he would call his wife several times a day. After months and months of saying he was trying to get her to leave us alone, he was encouraging her to continue her obsessive behavior when I was not around. Then he would call me and explain that she was in some hysterical mess because X happened, and he was going to have to make a trip out there right away. How soon can you be back? 2 days later, her mess was cleaned up without him. But of course, by then, he and I had already battled over why he would let her get to him over such stupid, crazy stuff, and how she pulled his strings like a puppet, and he allowed her to manipulate him. Yeah, I know now who the real true puppet was. Puppet master was, excuse me. I also didn't know that he was going through my personal belongings. I didn't really have anything to hide from him. He had lived at my home, so if he went through the drawers and the dressers, it was no big deal. Having said that, however, there are certain things that I believe most of us just understand without being told are off limits. I have kept journals for years, and I have never worried about any of my friends or family even looking at these books, let alone reading them. I certainly never felt compelled to tell them outright not to look through them, so perhaps I again had unrealistic expectations. One day in the fall, he said something during an argument that just sat very wrong with me. I didn't realize why it bothered me in that moment. The information he had seemed somehow incongruent with anything we had ever discussed. Later, however, I found out that it was something that referenced a passage from my travel journal when I had visited Italy several years earlier. Apparently, because I had pissed him off at some point over the summer, he thought himself completely justified in reading through every one of my journals. I don't remember how he said it, but when I confronted him with it, he let me know that it was my fault, because if I mess with him, he would get even every time. Payback is a blank, he always tells me. I still cannot express how violated I felt when I found out. Through the year that he lived at my house, there were many incidents, fights, battles, and yes, even some good times. I was going to miss the parks and spending time with him. You know, it was always since that first summer we met, our special time and place together. He moved back out of state and promises to return. His intention was to go to trade school, help his mom out a bit, get a new career, and return to me. I vacillated between wanting him to stay gone and desperately wanting him back. The first 3 weeks he was away, though, it was a constant fight. I had to start a new job, so my schedule was incredibly busy. Between my work and school hours, my sudden very early mornings, and therefore early bedtimes as well, and the time difference, it was difficult to get our free time to match and allow us time to talk. When we did talk, he always yelled and screamed at me because I wasn't more available to him. Long distance is tough enough without me making it even more difficult by not getting on Skype with him every evening. After 3 weeks of him screaming at me, he told me he found someone else. When my family stops talking to you, don't take it personally. They know I have a new girl now. Her name is blank. The rotten subhuman had gone on a dating site just 3 days after he moved. I'm going to repeat that. 3 days after he reached his destination, he was on a dating site, and he spent the next 3 weeks screaming at me because I was exhausted by 9 my time after getting up at 5 in the morning and couldn't get on Skype with him. For 3 weeks, he punished me, hurled accusations, ranted, and raved because I wasn't available for him, when the entire time he was looking for someone else. Well, next week I will continue this letter, but I'd like to, I would like to point out a couple things to pay attention to here. If you've noticed, the relationship went off very quickly. It was, as far as I can tell here, it was like, what was it, February? So October, November, December, January. 4 or 5 months and the guy's moving in. And that's part of the patterns here is they move really quickly because they need to move in because they can always protect how they behave for a certain amount of time. Okay, the rush is on because they could only keep that mask up against their face so you don't see those black, evil, creepy eyes come shining through. So the more sophisticated ones, and I mean sophisticated in that they can probably dupe more sophisticated people, they can keep that mask in place for a pretty long time. This guy acts like he was dropping that mask. And this is what people, over the years, there are a lot of commonalities what victims would say about things. And so you start to look at a train of behaviors when you start to look at these things. And clearly there were some boundary issues here. For example, you try calling me at 3 a.m. more than once, and I will tell you, knock it off and never take your calls again. But see how they start to cross your boundaries. And also, they like this sleep-deprived business because that's what one of the psychopaths that I interviewed had talked about, was depriving his partner's sleep to increase their instability, to increase the gaslighting, to increase them as their victim. So it all follows a path, and this story kind of wraps it all together very nicely. So remember, life is about how we deal with things and move forward. And as dark as it may seem right now, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So try to hang in there. And I'd like to recommend somebody that you might try to read. When I was going through my issues many years ago, the one thing that helped me cling to my sanity was Zen. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking religion or anything. It's just the practice of being in the present moment. And there were times when literally, had I not had the skills to bring myself to the present moment, I swear I would have knocked my head off with the ceiling fans in my living room. So it can be a real lifesaver. And that was my first instinct when I went through my horrendous ordeal about 20, 25 years ago, was to go and learn to be quiet. And I think when we can learn to be quiet, we can start to hear these things as they start to take place. But remember, the idea of this podcast isn't to help you to beat yourself up more if you find things that you can relate to here. The purpose is to show you things that you can relate to so you can know that you're not crazy. And most importantly, you're not alone. We're here for you. The person you want to look for, Biblio is my favorite place to buy books, and it's not a paid endorsement. It's biblio.com. I always check there first for prices because it's all independent booksellers. And normally, I don't know, about 3/4 of the time, they will have out-of-print books for just the cost of shipping, and it's an independent thing, so you're not paying into the Amazon machine. So anyhow, so the author is Sherry, C-H-E-R-I, Huber, H-U-B-E-R, and she has some wonderful books about fear and being in the present moment and just the insanity of life and the practice of being in the present moment. Doesn't mean you have to go to a place and meditate every day. It's just a matter of learning to look at your breathing and kick the pain out of your way. And like she told me, when you go to beat yourself up, it's only a matter of what size bat you pull out of the case. So try to treat yourself with kindness, and I will look forward to chatting with you next week. Goodbye for now. Be safe out there.